Delighted to have our guest for today, ready and waiting on the line to talk to us. Of course, we are in playoff time. Win or go home, as it's known sometimes in other sports around America, at least at the moment. It's win and win for the Dynamo and the Sounders. And to talk to us about those games from midweek and, of course, about the games coming up this weekend is one of our favourite guests to have on the show. Joining us from ESPN, it's Mr. Jeff Carlisle. Jeff, how are you, mate? It's a pleasure to have you on board today.
Hey, I'm doing great, Ollie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed. So nice to finish up the week with such a lovely chap as yourself here on World Football Daily, my man, especially going into a playoff weekend. We do have to talk about the games from the last couple of nights. So the Sounders and the Dynamo using home field advantage to their advantage and getting past the Rapids and the Impact. Who's impressed you the most out of these two in those first playoff games?
Well, I think both Seattle and Houston, you know, delivered some pretty solid performances. But, you know, for me, it was Houston. I mean, they were that was about as complete a performance as I've seen them have in the last few weeks. And then, you know, certainly they've had some games during that time where they've played pretty well. But, you know, granted, you have to put it in context, too. I mean, they were going up against the Montreal side that really, you know, backed into the playoffs and has not looked all that impressive for the last two or three months. So, you know, credit Houston for taking full advantage. You know, I think the big key for them was Will Bruin. We're talking about a guy who has missed so many chances this season and really not been as sharp as he needed to be. But something about the playoffs gets that guy going, and certainly he was able to deliver last night.
The Impact, were they very much suffering, do you think, from an inexperience in the playoffs as opposed to the Dynamo, who have, of course, been to the last two MLS Cup finals?
You know, I don't think experience played that much of a part. I mean, it certainly wasn't a situation where it was a team almost like New England, where you know they're chock full of young players who are just kind of getting their starts. I mean, you think about you know guys like Justin Mapp and Davey Arno and you know Marco Gavio's got tons of experience in cup competitions. So you know, it was. You know, I don't think it was a case of inexperience. I think it was a case of a team really running out of gas and also a team that had been figured out pretty much a couple months ago by the rest of the league. So, you know, and it was really, I would say, embarrassing to see them melt down the way they did with, you know, Rivas and DeVayo and Romero all getting sent off there. I mean, it was, you know, certainly it was a lot of frustration coming out. You know, obviously that club is not happy with the way they finished the season. But, you know, there's certainly much better ways to channel that anger than they showed last night.
I think running out of gas and melting down is exactly what the Impact did last night, Jeff. Unlike the Dynamo, who... do you think they've kind of, you know, had a fresh fuel injection, if you will, from this win? It's a Dynamo side that hasn't been quite what we expected, as you mentioned, with Will Bruin underperforming at times this season, but the playoffs bring the best out of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny to hear Bruce Arena talk, and he always says, well, you know, none of us have figured out the formula for getting this, you know, this playoff thing figured out, which is saying something given how many times he won MLS Cup. But, you know, Dominic Kinnear always seems to get his side ready. And certainly that's a testament to the leadership in the team as well. You know, guys like Brad Davis, you know, Bobby Boswell, you know, guys like that. You know, I think there is a little bit of concern going forward that they don't have Jermaine Taylor. You know, obviously he's out with a broken foot. You know, certainly Eric Bruner came in and showed pretty well last night. But, you know, now it's certainly going to be a step up in terms of the level of challenge with them going up against New York. So it's going to be interesting to see how that back line fares against a pretty potent New York attack who had the most goals in MLS this season.
It is a potent New York attack, but it's also a New York Red Bull side that traditionally, Jeff, seemed to have stumbles in the playoffs and at the end of regular season time as well. The Dynamo, on the other hand, are still that experienced veterans, if you will, of the postseason play. Does that give them any sort of advantage over two legs against the Red Bulls?
A little bit, but you know, this feels like a different Red Bull team. You know, it's got a little bit more balance. You know, they've got a shutdown defender on James and Olave. You know, certainly, I think they've got their midfield situation figured out with Dax McCarthy, and I'm sorry, and Peggy Leandula, and I mean, he's you know, there's a good balance there, and then you got guys like Johnny Steele and Lloyd Sam. So You know, and then you go to the front line with Tim Cahill and Thierry Henry. So from front to back, wing to wing, I think this is a little bit different Red Bull team than we've seen in the past. So I think Houston has a little bit of an edge, just having gone to the last two MLS Cups. But I don't think that gap is as much as it has been, normally going up against a New York team in the playoffs.
Do you think Houston might have wanted, especially Mr. Kinnear, might have wanted to have a tougher test against the Impact, to get his side kind of mentally prepared for the hard graft, as opposed to being able to almost sweep past them yesterday evening?
You know, I think if you're Dominic Kinnear, you're just happy to see your team play well. This is a side that has shown some inconsistency. So, the fact that they were able to pretty much ease by a struggling team, I think that speaks well of the Dynamo. Certainly we could be having a very different conversation, say if Marco DeVio pops up for an early goal in that match and, then all of a sudden Houston's chasing the game and, some of the questions that we've had about that side all season start to pop up again. So I think if you're Dominic Kinnear, you're happy to see your team play well. You're happy to see your team play confidently, especially a guy like Will Bruin, who, like we said, has struggled a bit in front of goal. And, so I think it all points, positively in Houston's direction there in terms of just how they're playing.
The Sounders, of course, will be happy to have got past the Rapids, who didn't make a great showing for themselves either on Wednesday night. The Sounders against the Timbers, is this the one that we kind of all wanted to see a little later on in the playoffs, maybe?
Well, you can't really script these things in terms of matchups. Last year we had San Jose and LA, which is a great rivalry as well. The Sounders and the Timbers take it up a notch. But I think you're as a fan and an observer, you're happy to see these two rivals really go at it with a lot on the line. I mean, those games are always intense, but now with so much at stake, it's really going to be taking up a few levels, I think. So, in a perfect world, you might want to see these two teams contesting the Western Conference final, but, it's going to be a blast to watch. So I think, as an observer, I'm happy to see that kind of matchup anytime in the playoffs.
With the Sounders maybe dipping in and out of form slightly at the end of the regular season, will Ziggy Schmidt have liked the fact that, they've had the extra game to prepare for a side like Portland and with a win, as opposed to maybe coming off the back of a stumbling, slightly fumbling end of the regular season, going on to face a big rival like Portland in a huge game?
Yeah, I think it did line up pretty well for Seattle. They get a fairly tough team, but they get them at home. They've got the home crowd behind them. A guy like Clint Dempsey has had a little bit more time to heal up. I mean, I still think he's hurting a little bit, but, I would agree that if you're Ziggy Schmidt, you're happy to see your team get that game and just, again, get some confidence. They go into the playoffs winless in seven, and had some real blowout defeats, during that period, just some shocking defensive displays. So, I think it was about as good a game as Schmidt could have hoped to get out of his side. They get the two goals. They keep a clean sheet, more importantly, which is something that they've struggled with lately. And so now they go into the Portland series with a bit more spring in their step, a bit more confidence. And I think it worked out perfectly for Ziggy Schmidt.
Is that Sounders back line going to be the key to getting past Portland? Because it's obviously a great Portland attack that finished flying at the end of the season.
It is, but I think they're going to have to get some mileage out of the midfield as well. Diego Valeri is a guy that really makes Portland tick. They want to get him on the ball as much as possible. I can remember that game. I think it was one of Dempsey's first games where Valeri played, but then he had to come off. And so it was it's a situation where I think Ozzie Alonso and Adam Moffitt, who haven't always looked as in sync as you probably would want. I think it's going to be up to those two guys to really kind of shut down Valeri's influence. And if that happens, that's going to make things a lot easier for that back line and protect them a little bit. But I think it's been good for Seattle to get Jimmy Chiori back. He's obviously got a ton of experience. He seemed to mesh, and play pretty well these last couple games. Even the season ender against L.A., the team just looked a little bit more solid, a little bit more on the same page. So So I think, yes, the back line's going to have to play well, but I think the Seattle midfield's going to have to step it up as well.
Are Seattle going to maybe play a little more conservative? Some argue that it's a 4-4-2 with a diamond. Other people call this Seattle side really playing a 4-3-3 with Dempsey so close to EJ and Lamar Nagel up front.
Well, I mean, Dempsey's going to float around. I mean, he wants to have that free role. So, I think it's they've got the two front runners, but, you know, then they've got Dempsey kind of floating around. I mean, it's, you know, formations always kind of tend to break down when you're trying to describe how a team attacks, because obviously there's a lot of interchanging, you know, a lot of movement. You know, guys are just always trying to find space wherever they can in the field. So, they're going to have that midfield three in back of them, in back of Dempsey. So, I think it's not going to be a case where Seattle's going to slow down. I mean, they're going to try to keep the ball, which is always a tough thing against Portland. But they need to get an advantage. They need to get an advantage, you know, coming out of their home field and heading into Jeld-Wen. So, you know, I look to see Seattle trying to be aggressive and really trying to take the game to Portland. So I don't see them slowing down at all.
There are obviously two more games coming up this weekend as well in the playoffs. The New England Revolution taking on Sporting Kansas City, and SKC, who have been a side who have always been tipped to be there and thereabouts at the end of the season, taking on a New England Revolution side that I'm not sure too many people had down as being a playoff caliber side at the start of this season.
I mean, full credit to Jay Heaps for getting that team to, you know, not only just to the playoffs, but finding an identity, you know, finding an attacking style, you know, with guys like Kellen Rowe and Lee Wynn and Juan Agudelo after he arrived. That's going to be a fascinating series, just because, you know, New England's, you know, the young upstarts, they're almost going in there with nothing to lose, you know, given that's the first time they've reached the playoffs in several years. But I think Kansas City is just defending so well right now, and really I think the playoffs are about, you know, grinding out those 1-0 wins, and that's been Kansas City's specialty right now. The big question for Kansas City is, where are the goals going to come from? I mean, ever since Kai Kamara left, you know, they've really kind of missed that athletic, you know, potent forward who is, can really be a game changer. And, you know, now they're relying on guys like Sunny Saad, Dom Dwyer. You know, CJ Sapong has not looked to be in his best form. You know, we'll see if they end up pushing Zusi a little bit closer to goal. But for Kansas City, that's the big question, is where are the goals going to come from? But with their defense, they're always going to be in a game.
For Jay Heaps, you mentioned what a fantastic job he's done this season, and such a young manager as well. I mean, we talk about the growth of New England, but have you seen him growing as a manager as well and really maturing as a manager in the last few years?
Well, I thought he was always a guy that, you know, tried to adapt to circumstances. He's a guy who's not afraid to make tough decisions and you know, find alternatives. You know, earlier in the season, you know, it was Khalif Cisse kind of playing that holding role, but, you know, it became pretty clear that, he wasn't mobile enough. And so then they moved to Scott Caldwell, who certainly doesn't have the experience, but a little bit more mobility, you know, pretty savvy with his passing. And then late in the year, when Caldwell started to struggle a little bit, you know, he moves to a veteran like Andy Dorman. So, I think Heaps is a guy who's shown his willingness to adapt to not just be stubborn and stick to one set of players or one particular system. But I think he even saw that a little bit in his first year as coach. I mean, they were just a lot more attractive team to watch. And certainly the way he's been able to build around these young players like Rowe, like Wynn, you know, like Scott Caldwell, Agudelo, et cetera. It's been impressive to see their maturation, and we'll see how far they can get in the playoffs now.
And you say people are licking their lips at that game. RSL against the LA Galaxy as well, though. Jason Kreis against Bruce Arena, two iconic managers in Major League Soccer. I mean, for West Coast football, this is a pretty big game for everybody, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's, you talked earlier about maybe Seattle and Portland being a matchup fit for a conference final. I mean, you could say the same about LA and Real Salt Lake. Two very good teams. You know, it's been very impressive to see Real Salt Lake kind of retool and get some fresh faces in there. And obviously they had to make some tough decisions, the last offseason about, you know, getting rid of guys like Hamison Olave, Fabian Espindola, you know, Will Johnson. I mean, you think about what he's been able to do for Portland and how much Real Salt Lake might have been able to benefit had they been able to hang on to him. So, you know, full credit to Garth Lagerwey and Jason Kreis with what they've been able to do. And, you know, the key, I think, for their team, though, is Chris Schuler. I mean, he's a defender who has been injured for most of the year. He was the guy that Jason Christ said he was really hoping could replace Olave and be that physical presence and let Borchers kind of be the organizer, you know, kind of the on-field tactician, if you will. But he's had so many problems with injuries, and, you know, it's a credit again to Real Salt Lake to be able to survive that. But now that he's back in the lineup, I think you've seen a Real Salt Lake team that defends a lot better than they did even, say, 2 months ago. So, you know, that's an important boost for them. And I think it gives Real Salt Lake a little bit, you know, more of a chance against a very good L.A. side. But it's very evenly matched, in my opinion. I mean, you know, you've got Donovan and Keane on the one side and a very good midfield tandem in Marcelo Sarvis and Janino. So, great matchups all over the field in that one.
Jeff, I don't want to be accused of being a jumping-the-gun European journalist type thing here, but for Seattle and for RSL, I mean, Seattle obviously haven't ever achieved that MLS Cup dream. RSL, MLS Cup winners back in 2009, but have always been just that little too far off getting back to the final once again. Do you think that Kreis and Ziggy Schmidt are both maybe, if it doesn't happen this year, there might be discussion about maybe trying to change things up in the managerial positions at those two franchises?
Well, that's always been, in Seattle, that's always been kind of the rumblings. I mean, I can remember a few years ago, you know, after I think a couple seasons of postseason disappointment, they're saying, hey, well, if City doesn't get it done this year, then he's out. And to me, that was just shocking to hear that kind of talk. I mean, given everything that he's done in the game, you know, you're talking about a guy that's won, you know, at least a couple of MLS Cups by my count, you know, Supporter Shield, you know, with LA and with Columbus. And we'll see what happens in Seattle, but so far he's gotten some pretty strong support, you know, from upper management and granted, you know, that's what they're always going to say. They're never going to throw their coach under the bus while he's still there, but just the tone of it and the vibe that's emitting from the Seattle owners, I get the feeling that they will stick with Schmidt. I think in Kreis's situation, it's all a question of whether he wants to move on to a bigger, what he perceives to be a bigger challenge. I mean, obviously there are tons of reports about him moving to NYCFC. The word I'm hearing out of Salt Lake is that they're going to wait for the season to be over, and then they're going to make a final push to lock up Jason Kreis. I think that's critical for Real Salt Lake to keep him and Garth Lagerwey. Lagerwey's contract has another year to run, but I think that partnership has worked incredibly well for Real Salt Lake. And on a team that doesn't spend a ton of money, I mean, I think that's the real difference maker for them. Mm-hmm. If that tandem were to be broken up and to move on, I just think that edge that Real Salt Lake has and always being among the contenders, always being in the playoffs, I think that's going to be a lot smaller. It's going to be a lot tougher for them. So the onus is on Real Salt Lake to really make Jason Kreis feel welcome and convince him that everything that he wants to achieve in his coaching career can happen in Salt Lake City.
Possibly difficult times ahead for RSL in the long-term future. In the short-term, it's just as difficult taking on the LA Galaxy this weekend. Jeff, it's an absolute pleasure to chat all things Major League Soccer with you today, mate. Always enjoy getting you on the show and you giving us the breakdown to the big stories out of the US soccer scene. And there's not much bigger at the moment than playoff football right about now, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure, Ali. Anytime.
Cheers, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Mr. Jeff Carlisle from ESPN, rocking the airwaves here on World Football Daily, talking all things Major League Soccer and giving us a rundown to the big playoff games coming up this weekend. Of course, Revo's SKC and the Dynamo Red Bulls in the East, and then Sounders Timbers and the Galaxy RSL in the West. Where do you lie? I can tell you now that...